And good morning once again, everyone. Welcome back. I'm Chad Holmes. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. The time is 9:06. Right now, 21 degrees in downtown Wausau. We've seen some sunshine. We've seen a little bit of cloud cover as well. And the wind chill continues to be 7 degrees above zero. We'll update you on the weather forecast coming up in just a few minutes. Coming up as well in this hour, in about 15 minutes or so, we'll be joined by Randy Ratke. I've known him for many years, part of the Marathon County Central Labor Council. I've been very fortunate to be an announcer at the Wausau Labor Day Parade, but now Randy is running for the Marathon County Board, and we're going to talk about his campaign coming up at 9:20 this morning. But right now, we're going to talk about a great event coming this weekend with a somewhat new organization, the Greater Northern Choral Association, which is combining with the Wausau Symphony and Band to present an afternoon with the Choral Masters this Sunday. And very happy to welcome Bill Day and also Dan Larson. And gentlemen, thank you both for stopping on by today.
Thank you.
You bet.
Well, number one, and I was talking to you, Bill, and your wife as well. I remember both of you from my days at the University of Wisconsin-Marathon County, back in the good old days before they changed the name at UW-SP at Wausau. But you've been involved in music for such a long time in this area. I'll start with you, Bill. What is the lure of this group and an event like this?
The lure, if you want to say it that way, is just to be able to present good choral literature to this town. And dealing with a volunteer choir, it's just a marvelous experience to watch them come together, get better, and be able to sing music of this quality. And it's also, like I've said before, a non-auditioned choir, which is great because that means we take them from where they start way back in January and try to move forward. And that's what we've done.
And just real quickly, the event will be held on this Sunday at 3 p.m. It is a free event. It'll be at Holy Name of Jesus Catholic Church, 1104 South 9th Avenue in Wausau. And Bill is one of the conductors, and Dan Larson as well, one of the conductors. And Dan, I mentioned what Bill's background is. What's your background? Because I know people around here know you very well as well.
I've been, I was teaching in the Wausau School District for years with vocal in general. And my side jobs, I play at First English Lutheran Church as organist and pianist. And back in 2004, I applied for the job of Wausau Symphony Conductor. I loved symphonic music. Mm-hmm. My mother was the violinist, not me. But I just love the symphonic music, and I got the job. And so for 20 years now, I've been conducting the Wausau Symphony. It's a wonderful group of people. These are the musicians, the instrumental musicians you often don't see at community mm-hmm. theater productions. They're right. Providing all the background for the support of music, for the musicals and some of the area schools. You see a lot of the same folks. They're very busy people. They're wonderful musicians. And it's just a pleasure to conduct, such a willing group.
So. The combination, you said it, you got the Wausau Symphony, and now you have as well the singers. And also talking to both of you before we went on the air, this has been going on for a couple of years, maybe not under the umbrella of Greater Northern Choral Association. But talk about how this all came together originally.
Well, 3 years ago, we were approached by Chet Suskey, who was saying he would really wanted to see the Messiah at the Grand Theater, and that used to be an annual event back, again, 30 years ago or so, and it just kind of died out, and we said he wanted that revived, and so he brought that together for us, and so we got a community choir, and the Wausau Symphony performed that, and then we were able to do the Mozart Requiem, another large work, very difficult production to put together. Challenging for the symphony as well as the voices. And then this year we kind of took under our own direction to mm-hmm. just say, let's continue with this because we were going to take a year off with that. And the directors, the choral directors got together and said, well, what could we do? So we're presenting the Vivaldi Gloria, which is a beautiful piece, about 20 minutes, 30 minutes in length. And then we'll be adding a few other anthems along the way to round out the program.
And Bill, you said that you've been working with the vocalists for what, since January?
January 7th is when we started, every Sunday afternoon.
Can you talk about that process? So you said it, you have folks who came in who just wanted to sing.
Right. I called everybody that was in the Requiem and everybody that was in the Messiah personally and asked them if they were interested. And if I back up just a little bit, this group really got started because a lot of my past students said no, they didn't want to let it go. So we got together on a Sunday afternoon and sat and talked about it. And then we started getting all of the different things that were needed to get it going. As far as our practices, we come in at 1 o'clock, we get warmed up, and then I say, let's go. And we start. And then we work till about 3:30 every Sunday afternoon, and we've done that diligently until last week. And now I said to my wife, I says, it's great. It's all together. I can't do anything except warm them up and wave my arms in the air a little bit and see if it goes. So,
both of you have obviously worked for many years with students.
Oh, yes.
And to see people, and what you just said, that, hey, we're going to make this happen. We're going to continue this. I imagine that, you know, you both, one of the things in addition to teaching the basics when you have high school students or even college students is to also develop the love for what's being done. And I guess that's what you said there would be a great example of, hey, we're going to keep doing this, even if we have to change the location, even if it's, you know, adds a little bit of a hurdle. I imagine for both of you, that has to be really make the heart explode just a little bit. Dan?
Well, it's awesome to see the a lot of that passion and spirit is already there. And I think Bill would agree is that, you know, you just start to hone it and develop it even further and give them the skills to, you know, achieve more success. So I've become a better conductor for the symphony with the help of some great violinists. My first violinist who's the concert mistress, you know, asking, you know, we've got this difficult passage, you know, could you have suggestions how they could practice that or use an alternate fingering? And, you know, I try to delegate and use my resources. You know, if I don't know the answer, well, let's find out somebody who does. Or, you know, a wind player who says, I need a part in a different key. You know, we need to go, or let's do a note check and let's double check that. And if I don't have that answer right away, I want to make sure that we find that immediately. So, yeah, we're all developing. We grow as musicians as well as they do.
Again, we're talking to William Day and Dan Larson, Greater Northern Choral Association with the Owosso Symphony and Band, an afternoon with the Choral Masters coming up on Sunday at 3 p.m. It is a free event at Holy Name of Jesus Catholic Church on South 9th Avenue in Owosso. Putting it all together. Obviously, you both have, you're working with the symphony, you're working with the choral, and then you put it all together. How difficult is it, I guess, for the layperson out there that may be tuned in? Because it sounds like it would be a lot to put together.
It is. It is a lot to put together. We were planning to do one more selection, and it wasn't coming together the way I thought in terms of the other pieces, and I wanted a quality program. So I talked to Dan, and he thought we should drop one of the numbers we did. That doesn't mean it's gone. Maybe we'll do it next year. But we decided to make that decision, and I feel very good. I just told him before we even went on the air that I feel very good about the rehearsal we had Sunday afternoon. I am what you call a technician after doing this for 64 years. And so it's my joy to take them, and if they're making a sound that's not quite what I want, then I hopefully know how to tell them how to change that and make it better.
And Dan, as well, I mean, you're part of working with, and it's obviously you said it, you work with theater groups, with the community theater. Mm-hmm. This is something that has done a lot with the band. But how your role in terms of putting it together when you have multiple directors, same thing with a play, how difficult is that?
I really appreciate both my vocal background and the instrumental background, because sometimes you get one or the other. My very first season or first concert with the symphony most of the players were very receptive. We knew each other from past productions. And there were a few that were going, why did they hire a vocalist for an orchestra conducting position? But that's long since passed, and we get along great, and we've had some fantastic programs. And having the vocal background to know what the singer's needs are and developing the skills to know what the instrumentalist needs are and putting that together, how we phrase it together, the cues that are needed for all the sections, I feel that really confident in being able to lead that.
We got about 2 minutes to go, and I guess to finally to wrap it up for folks out there, say, man, Sunday would be, I'm looking for a great activity to partake in. And as I said, this is a free concert. What are they going to get? I guess kind of your best sales job to get folks out there to experience what you have been working so hard on for the last number of months.
They're going to get a glorious sound, both from the orchestra and from the choir, to be honest with you. I feel very good about it. And achieving a balance is always a difficult thing when you deal with an orchestra and a choir. And so we worked very hard on that Sunday afternoon, and we're about there, okay? It's a gorgeous church to perform in acoustically. It's a very live sound. And so from that standpoint, it should be a lovely program, something I'm excited about.
And Dan, anything to add?
Well, we're so fortunate to have an active string program in our community. And so especially if you can see the concert for free, you know, especially if you have younger children or relatives who appreciate or have never seen, you know, an orchestra in action. It's always so much more fun to see the players live, not just hear the players. Same thing like with an organist. When that organ is buried up in a balcony, it's like, wow, that sounds like really fantastic music, but they don't really get to see the action of the player. And everybody's going to be in front. The orchestra's off to the side, but they're visible with the choir. And that just those live performances are just wonderful.
Fantastic. Dan Larson, William Day, thank you again. It is Sunday, this Sunday at 3 p.m., an afternoon with the Choral Masters at Holy Name of Jesus Catholic Church on South 9th Avenue in Wausau. Best of luck to everybody. Welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Sort of like a pit stop here. We have one group go right out and then another come in, and we're very happy to welcome back Randy Radke. Known Randy for a number of years, been so much fun to be involved with the Labor Day Parade, but now Randy is stepping into a different lane, running for the Marathon County Board. But first of all, Randy, thank you for coming on by, and it's always great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me on.
Little more closer.
Is that good?
That's good.
Okay, yeah, thanks for having me on, Chad. It's always good to talk to you.
I'm going to jump right in because the big question is, yes, taking this step, you know, deciding to run for the county board. And usually when I bring on somebody that's running for office, the first question is always, what got you involved? What got you to the point that said, I want to take this step? Because it's not easy to run for office.
No, it's, you know, as you know, I've been involved kind of with politics for a long time outside. And I always kind of thought about running for office. And now that my youngest daughter is going to be graduating, it frees up a little bit more time, I feel, to help try to make our county hopefully a better place to live and work and play. So
how hard is it to actually do the running? Because I think that is the hardest part, because when you get into office, you know, you have the ideas. Yeah. You know, you as you said, you followed a lot of these issues for a long time. But the running aspect, have you ever run for office in any way before?
No.
So what have you found out running for office?
Well, you know, the getting the paperwork going, and, you know, there's a lot more to it, that, right. You know, and, you know, knocking on doors, and which I got to start doing some more of that before, you know, it's right around the corner. So
then, in fact, real quickly, that aspect of it, you know, I think a lot of us who follow politics and news once in a while cross the mind. Maybe I should jump in. For myself, I would never want to go and knock on doors. That would be the hardest part. What is it like to go to somebody's home and knock on the door, not really know who's going to answer, not know whether or not they feel this way about an issue that's important to you or this way?
Yeah.
What has that been?
Well, you know, yeah, you have some bad doors, but for the most part, you really meet some wonderful people out there. I mean, especially, I don't know, I was out last week, not for my campaign, but knocking with for other organizations I'm part of, and you know, you meet these people, and you ask, you know, and they're actually, a lot of them are glad to see us and to talk, you know, and about all the stuff that's going on.
That's something that I've heard as well from other candidates, that I don't think it's wrong to say there is a schism within a lot of people.
Yep.
But at the same time, I think that what we may see in social media, where it's so easy to be a keyboard warrior or in other areas, that when you actually, even if you disagree with somebody's door you may knock on, people are more than capable of having civil conversations, aren't they?
Oh yeah, yeah. I've done this for a few years now, and I remember going to a couple doors, and they said, "Well, you know, I'm just going to let you know I disagree with you, but I'm glad that you're out here doing what you're doing." So you do, you know what I mean?
And right. You've been involved in, as you said, a lot of issues, especially involving labor. What are the issues that are animating this campaign? What are the issues that you find yourself talking about the most, at least at this point?
Well, you know, I really think the health care in our region here, with the mental health and the drug issue and the homelessness, I think it can be addressed a lot better.
And that is something that the county has a big factor in with the North Central health care.
Yeah.
When you look at what is being done and what perhaps can be done, what are you seeing? Where are the areas specifically that you are going to try to advocate for?
I think there's more we can do to get more people to maybe help. I think they got a few advocates already that help out with the Wausau Police Department and stuff. And I think that would be the better thing, you know, and to make sure we put more funding towards stuff like that. I think arresting people, I don't think is the, you know. I don't believe that's the way. I think there's, you know, we spend millions of dollars helping the private sector with building their businesses sometimes, and we could do more, I think, if put more into helping these people out, so make them, and then too, that helps with less crime,
right?
Make them more productive citizens in our community.
There's actually a story that I talked about yesterday on the program, talking about the police chief was speaking to one of the committees. And I think that comes down to the heart of what you were just saying, that there are different ways of going about this. And frankly, from what, again, I was reading what the chief said, looking at, you know, almost in a sense bringing the hammer down a little bit more, as opposed to using, and there are studies based on, I think, what you're saying in terms of some of these programs to try to, you know, to try to help people get from the streets into real housing. This is a discussion that I think is starting to heat up a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think, you know, to my personal feeling, I think it's cheaper to help them than to just leave it go. I mean, it you know, and to do what, I don't agree with what the police chief is saying. I think to lay the hammer down like that, I think it's, no, I think that's too harsh, and I think we got to treat them better, and I think there's better ways of doing things.
And as you said, I think that as well, when you look at the cost analysis, I mean, that's one of the things that the cost analysis of putting somebody in jail never works.
No.
Not in Marathon County, at the very least, does it?
No. So I think, you know, be there for them. And I, like I said, man, we spend so millions of dollars with some of the other private org businesses that want money. And then, I mean, it wouldn't even take that much to even have a, I think if we built a bigger space for like the homelessness, and then on one side, maybe even have a resource center where we could help them out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And also, again, something I was, you know, in addition to that story, I was kind of looking at some other stories, that there is information out there on what works, isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things that sometimes...
Yeah. I'm trying to think which organization, if it was through the United Way, but one of them had a, you know, had a big thing about how it pays to help them. You know?
Right. We have to take a short time out for an information update. We have our news, weather, and sports at the bottom of the hour. But we're going to come back and talk more with Randy Radke, again, candidate for the Marathon County Board District number 10. So that'll be coming up. But next, it is news, weather, and sports. Everything you need to know here on this Wednesday morning. Again, it's a chilly start here at our studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. 21 degrees is the temperature, wind chill factor of 7. Glad you could be with us. The time is 9:28. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, almost 9:35 here on this Wednesday morning, hump day Wednesday, heading downhill towards the weekend and heading downhill towards Election Day. Hard to believe, but we are just 13 days away from the spring election, April the 2nd, Tuesday, April the 2nd, and here in the Wausau area in Marathon County, there is a lot of races that are going to keep people interested on April the 2nd, and one of which is Marathon County Board. All the board seats are up for election. Yeah. District number 10, and Randy Radke, challenger, running for office. And again, great to always talk to you, Randy.
Yeah.
Obviously, you got your union background. And, and for folks who are not familiar, what is your union background? Because I've known this for a decade, but you've had a lot of hats during your time in the union, right?
I was Labor Council president of the Marathon County Central Labor Council, which is now the North Central Wisconsin Labor Council, for 13 years. I'm currently vice president.
When did that change?
Last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, I gotta catch up.
It was kind of like around Labor Day. We were gonna announce it more then, and then but now it's official.
I remember saying Marathon County like last Labor Day.
So. Yeah. So
we get to this episode, I'll make sure to get it right this
right,
time around.
Yeah.
But continue.
So, and then of course I did hold a few offices in my local union. I mean, like shop steward and that. And I'm running for vice president of my local 2-224, and also I'm part of other organizations like Citizen Action, you know. And
what is your job exactly? What puts the meat and potatoes on your table?
Okay, I work at Graphic Packaging. I'm a lead operator in the bowl forming department, and I've been there for 21 years.
And it's maybe unfair to put a blanket over it, but you know, and right now, last number of days when I get home, I turn on the television, try to chill out, and I've been seeing a lot of commercials featuring Eric Hovde. And you know, good for Eric Hovde for running, whatever may agree or disagree, and I think we may agree on our thoughts, but the idea of yet another multimillionaire running for office and basically saying, well, I mean, I'm going to be this guy that won't be bought and sold, blah, blah, because I'm rich. And whether it's at any level, and of course, I think that when you get to the national level, you see a lot more wealthy, because obviously to run across the state of Wisconsin, you either need a lot of money or need to find a lot of money, one way or the other.
You need to know how to raise it or whatever.
But to have somebody that is from this area, that has worked and raised families here, it's so important to have that perspective in government, isn't it? And I imagine that's one reason that you want to be, that you've been involved in so many different ways.
I mean, I was born and raised here. You know, I grew up in just north of here in the town of Maine, village of Maine now, you know, which my mom still lives in the house that her and my mom, you know, they built that house. Mm-hmm. My dad passed away in 2011, but yeah. And so I really love this community, you know.
Something else you've said to me, we were talking a little bit during our information update, and you mean this. I mean, there is a lot of division. And you and the Labor Council has, I think, done quite a bit to try to make sure that we're listening to all voices.
Yep.
And in your flyer that you talk about, that you said you are saddened that our country has become so divided. If you were to become a member of the Marathon County Board, what would you do to try to maybe heal some of those cracks? There's only so much that one person can do, but it does start with individuals.
It is tough too, because you know you can't give up what you believe in.
Right.
But I think there is common ground in a lot of areas, and I think listening to people is something that we don't do enough of all around. You know, I mean, listening, we just always want to tell people what to do instead of listening. I think that would help a lot.
Another thing that you put down in your flyer that I had actually, when I checked out your Facebook before, you know, inviting you back on the program, is that this is something I don't think a lot of people do take seriously. You said this is a nonpartisan position and that you take this very seriously.
Yeah.
And I think, unfortunately, whether it's the board or maybe, you know, other local nonpartisan positions, we're seeing the infiltration of politics a lot more than used to, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. That nonpartisan thing is, you know, and I mean, I'm going to have to keep myself in check, you know, but I think that's very important. Talking about the whole thing about getting along too, and how to bridge that divide, we got to keep that focus right there, that it is a nonpartisan position.
Is there an elected official, whether national or statewide or local, over the years that, you know, you've obviously, you know, dealt with a lot of folks, is there somebody that you've really respected and may want to use from what you've seen from that person should you become an elected official? Is there somebody that...
Oh, like
that
on a national level?
Well, it could be a local person. It could be a statewide person. It could be a national person. I mean, anybody that you've seen that you feel like they do the job the way, you know, whether or not you agree 100%
on a local level, I would say I disagree with Doug Dinney on a lot of things, but the way he's approached people on the other side, you know, I always like my Bernie Sanders, always, the way he, you know, he tries to relate to, you know, but as far as I'm trying to think of somebody who, you know, is really,
No, I mean, those are good examples right there.
But, you know, like I said, I don't agree with Doug on many things, but me and him used to go at it quite a bit earlier on. But over the years, you know, like the Labor Council, we reached out to him, and you know, he was our Citizen of the Year this last year. But you know, people like that try to listen to the other side, you know, I think that's what we need more of, as far as the, you know, and we always talk red and blue, you know, purple. Right. Purple is.
That said, you know, and when you talk red and blue and then purple, that I think that when you have communication, when it comes to labor issues, and again, you know, you've been involved in these so often, that if you actually have the conversations, people can change. Because I think often, and we're again talking in the time between our segments, that everything is down to a bumper sticker or a sign.
Yep.
That a lot of the issues that you've dealt with and that I'm sure you would hope to deal with over the next couple of years are more complicated than
that. Oh, yeah.
And having the conversations are vitally important.
Oh, yeah. Very important. And I think that's the sad part is too many people just go by sound bites, you know. I think if you look into more of it, you know, I mean, getting into labor a long time ago, I remember the reason I got into it was I went to a labor a union meeting, and we were kind of blaming the union for it. And the business rep got up and said, "Well, if you think you can do things better, maybe you should get up here." And I remember leaving that day kind of upset, but that stuck in my head. And I came back and I started, and of course, somebody on the board had resigned, and then I jumped on. But you know, that whole, I found out it wasn't just a cut and dry issue. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's more to it than just what you see on the outside.
There are very few cut and dry issues, aren't there? I mean, really,
yeah,
I mean,
yep,
there's
yep.
so much complicated yep. where, I mean, whether, because there's always budgets involved and I mean, it could be a great idea, but unfortunately then the cost factor always has to come into it. We talked a little already about health care. What other issues have you seen? You know, obviously, following what the board has been up to, what other issues are those that you have either been aware of in the with the recent board, and maybe issues that you would want to be involved in the next 2 years?
I think the library. I think the library is very important. I mean, we, you know, everybody may say, well, we got our phones with a lot of information on here, but that's still totally different than the library. I talked with somebody at work the other day and how important, you know, they say that how their kids go up there, and there's a lot of different stuff that goes on at our libraries. And also another thing that bothers me is that there's people out there that want to ban books and take our freedom away from what books we want to read.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're adults, and you know, we should be able to. We should be the ones that decide what our children can read and not read, and ourselves. You know,
when you mention the phones and technology, as a union person, I think that you probably have been aware of the effects of technology as much as anybody. And I guess maybe this is a question that is beyond the scope of a county board member. I'm very nervous when it comes to AI and all this technology that's going through. As somebody that, you know, where people's livelihoods are on the line when it comes to technology, how do you feel about where we are as a society when it comes to some, I think, very,
well, you
I'm
know,
very nervous, to
yeah,
be honest
well,
with you.
Some of it's good and some of it's, you know, like AI, you know. I mean, then you take a look at a lot of our Zoom meetings. We wouldn't be able to have meetings without, you know, with people far away, and it's people can actually join in on things, so that's the good part of mm-hmm. it, you know. But then, like, the AI, I don't know that much about it, so I,
right.
I but,
no,
I,
no,
I,
but...
It is a little bit nervous, though. There's probably, you know, and obviously, if you don't mind bringing up one more thing about the, you know, the labor issue.
Absolutely. If you didn't talk about the labor issues, I would be surprised.
Right. But I mean, the third thing I would say, creating and maintaining our infrastructure, like the roads and the parks, which I believe will help attract employers to our area and help create good paying family supporting jobs. And make sure that if we do hire contractors, we try to hire with local labor.
Mm-hmm.
And also that we work for responsible bidder language, which would protect the county from shoddy work and unscrupulous contractors who bid low, bill high, and cheat to compete. You know, I mean, the building trades talk. I talk a lot about that with the building trades.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think you kind of hit on something there, that the whole idea of making our area more attractive for folks that are looking for work. And it can be as much as people that are actually being offered work. Too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those issues that the county board and I know the city council have also been having to deal with, that, boy, as you look to the future, making sure that, number one, yeah, the jobs are available, but also, number two, that we are providing what we can to make sure that those folks take the jobs, and that could involve housing and, as you said, a lot of the different areas that you have to work on.
Well, kind of like you were saying, it's a lot more, there's a lot more there than a cut and dry, you know. And I think a lot of us, a lot of things I get disappointed in is that we spend our money and, well, if we don't give these businesses such amount of money that they're not going to come here, well, why don't we make sure there the infrastructure there, we have nice parks and schools and, you know, and all that. And
to be honest with you, real quickly, before you continue, there's almost like it's almost like saying that, well, why would they go out with me? Well, no, we have a lot to offer here.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's almost like you have to bribe them to come here. Yeah, well, they should want to come here, right?
Yeah, and then we got a lot of people in the government, that local government, that want to make our city something that's not, or our county. I remember a long time, quite a few years ago, that someone, a family friend of ours, said she used to work for one of the moving companies, and she'd always talk about how many people would come to our city because at the time, we had gotten a conversation about Act 10 and how that destroyed our schools. That was our feeling, you know, and that how for many years that people come to our area because of our public schools, you know.
Yep. So. No, there are so many different layers to what makes a community or a county very attractive to business and to individuals as well.
Yep.
Where can people find out more information? Because we're down to our final minute. Okay. Where can they find out more about Randy Radke before voting?
Well, you can go to my Facebook page, Randy Radke for Marathon County.
And a very friendly guy there, too. That Randy Radke. I like that guy. So become a friend with him and get that great information.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
But Randy, appreciate you putting your hat in the ring and being active again. And anything else you want to wrap up?
Yeah, I just want to wrap up and thank everybody that's helping me out on my campaign, for the people that put signs out, help knock doors, and the endorsements by the Labor Council, North Central Wisconsin Labor Council, my own local, United Steelworkers 2-224. And I just recently got endorsed by the Bricklayers Local 6 and Citizen Action.
Randy? And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. Again, thanks to Randy Radke, candidate for the Marathon County Board, District 10, for joining us. And again, as Randy was talking about how important it is to have representatives from our community and representatives from different points of view and different socioeconomic levels, instead of always having the multimillionaires basically run the show. I think that folks, hardworking union members like Randy Radke, are just so important to be part of the system, and so thrilled that he has decided to throw his hat in the ring and to put himself out there. And again, I've talked about this before. It's not easy to put yourself out there, not easy to run a campaign, and then in the end, not easy to put your, basically, where you look on a screen and say, okay, how many people voted for me? How many people didn't vote for me? I mean, it is not easy. So again, for everybody that tries to make this system a little bit better. And also something I was saying to Randy as he walked out, it's great. We need to have a system again where in the end, somebody wins, somebody loses, but you don't start screaming about rigged. You don't start screaming about how I will not accept these results. I am 53 years old. And for almost the entirety of my life, you would have elections where sometimes the person that you wanted to win won. And then you would have elections where somebody you didn't want to win won. But when that person won, you didn't check out of the system. You didn't say the system is rigged. You just said, okay, that person got the votes. They are the person that's elected office, and we'll let them do their job. And then if they don't do the job to the level that you want them to do, we'll have somebody run against them and we'll try again in either 2 or 4 or 6 years. So again, it's about the system being able to work, the system working. And one of the great ways to make this system work is to have people from all walks of life try to get involved in elected office. And of course, we are 13 days away from the election on April the 2nd. Today, it is Wednesday, March the 20th. That means we are to day number 80. Yep, day number 80 of 2024. And that means there are 284 days remaining in this year. So, looking at some of the famous events that occurred on this date in history. Back in 1916, Albert Einstein published his general theory of relativity. On this date in 1969, John Lennon and Yoko Ono married in Gibraltar. On this date in 1996, a jury in Los Angeles convicted Eric and Lyle Menendez of first-degree murder in the shotgun slayings of their millionaire parents. On this date in 2016, Barack Obama became the first U.S. president to visit Cuba since 1928. On this date in 2020, after 20 years with the New England Patriots, six-time Super Bowl winning quarterback Tom Brady agreed to move to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a 2-year, $50 million guaranteed deal. And 2 years ago today, on this date in 2022, after 30-plus years on television, Maury Povich announced he would be calling it quits. Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. Hal Linden, he played Barney Miller, 93 years old today. Director Spike Lee turned 66. Actor Holly Hunter is 66 as well. Actor Michael Rapaport is 54. Mikey Day, Saturday Night Live cast member, 44 years old today. Also, actor Ruby Rose of Orange is the New Black and Batwoman is 38. And Barron Trump, the son of Donald Trump, we don't hear that much about. Barron Trump is 18 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Taking a look at some of the special events being acknowledged today. It is Act Happy Day. Rather be happy, but Act Happy Day. It is Alien Abduction Day. Do you believe in aliens?
I don't rule out the possibility.
There you go. So celebrate Alien Abduction Day. Maybe someday you'll be abducted by an alien.
Wouldn't that be cool?
It is Atheist Pride Day. It is Hufflepuff Pride Day. Mm. It is Crawfish Cravers Awareness Day. It is the Great American Meat Out. M-E-A-T. Out, so I guess.
Oh.
It is International Astrology Day.
Nice.
It is International Day of Happiness. It is Bach Beer Day. It is Kiss Your Fiancé Day, if you have one. It is Ravioli Day. It is Take Down Tobacco Day of Action. It is Won't You Be My Neighbor Day in honor of Mr. Rogers.
That's nice.
It is World Frog Day, and it is World Storytelling Day. All right, time for our number for the day.
Okay.
It is the percentage of U.S. teens who say they are completely satisfied with themselves. Teens sometimes, a lot of issues growing up.
Yeah.
But the percentage of U.S. teens who say they are completely satisfied with themselves. Is it A, 20%? Is it B, 30%? Is it C, 40%?
I'm going to go with A. I'm going to go with a 20%.
All right. The percentage of U.S. teens who say they are completely satisfied with themselves is 30%.
Bam, off by 10% again.
I'm hoping for you. I'm really, wishing for you.
I will get one this week. I promise I will try to get at least one this week.
Thanks to our guest today, Randy Ratke, candidate for the Marathon County Board, and also William Day and Daniel Larson from the Greater Northern Choral Association and the Wausau Symphony and Band. Hey, stick around. Coming up just after 10 o'clock, Matineer on Air. She will be announcing the next keyword for you to be part of our Ride into Spring Text to Win contest. So again, Jane will be announcing that word coming up in just a few minutes. Ian, have a great day.
You too. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow here on Bow Falls Radio.